So you know that God in his mercy has really guided us as to what to give thanks for, because he knows we don't always think right. So he started by writing in Psalm 103 verse 2. Now before I preach, I want to tell you something. Please look up here. The Bible is not just a book. The Bible is not just what? A book. The Bible is God's voice in written form. Tell you the truth. The Bible, until you start saying the Bible like that, you will think I just read it. The Bible is God speaking to you directly. Some people say, how does God speak to me? But you read the Bible every day. It's because they haven't come to accept the Bible as the voice of God. And if you watch our Lord Jesus, he will always quote what the scripture say. All his life was scripture in display. Everything he said on the cross was said before by the Spirit of God. Everything Jesus quoted was what the Father said. And Paul came, he said, I don't preach anything except what the prophets have written before. What is written? That's what Paul said. So I want you to take the preaching of the word very seriously. I'm begging you. I'm begging you. I've been a pastor for a long time. I've come around, across a lot of frustrated Christians. And I don't even know how to begin to help them. I don't know. I'm telling you. Because they haven't realized that you're a product of what you believe. They have not realized that. That if you want to change your life, you change what you believe. Simple as that. There's nothing hard in Christianity, except our human mind makes it complicated. So before we preach, I want you to please make up your mind this morning, once and for all, that the Bible is the voice of God. You honor it, respect it, and read it like that. Do you know the heathens respect the books of their religion? Because they take it as the voice of their God. So if you discredit the Quran, they kill you. But we are the only people who treat the Bible anyhow. And we even have the audacity to argue the Bible. The audacity. I was talking with some group of pastors, and I was telling them, someone was telling me, he said, Pastor, do you believe in deliverance? I said, what did Jesus do for us? I said, Jesus already delivered us. I said, you go teach your people the truth. When they know the truth, they shall all walk in freedom. He said, Pastor, but in the Old Testament, the Bible said that God will visit the iniquity of people on up to the fourth. I said, so if God is visiting them, you are the one to deliver them from God, right? You are the one. I said, but however, how do you teach your people the wrong thing? The Bible says that God has set aside the Old Testament. I said, the Bible says it's obsolete. How can you use it as your message for your people? Is that the truth that sets free? Isn't it Jesus the truth that sets free? Isn't Jesus the one that sets people free? I said, have you taught them? Have you ever told them the good news? That he died and he set you free. Tell them, let them believe it. It will work. And I began to share with them testimony. They were all sitting like that. I said, you took the Bible as a magic book. Not a magic book. It's a living word. And it's the truth. Can somebody say amen? Amen. So whatever we read out of it today, that's God talking to you. Can you tell your neighbor what I said? Whatever we read out of the book today, that's God talking to you. Say it loud. I want to hear you. So let's start with Psalm 103 verse 2. I'm reading New Living Translation. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. May I never forget what? The good things he does for me. Then he started to enumerate them, because we forget them. We think that forgiveness of sin means nothing. Until God gives you a big job and makes you a manager. But the Holy Spirit is showing you the key things God did for you. The first thing he did is not that he gave you a job. Let's see the first thing he put there. Who forgives what? You are not hearing me. Who forgives what? Because if your iniquities are not forgiven, you go to hell. You go to hell and spend eternity in hell. So the Spirit of God says, see, number one thing is that he forgives what? All right. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
Come on, can I hear amen?
Amen?
How many people appreciate it? That's what Jesus was teaching. The woman that came and poured alabaster oil, and then Simon said, why are you wasting this thing? It has great value. He said, why don't you give it to the poor? She sounded religious. There's a spirit of the Pharisees that is still working today. Brethren, I'm telling you the truth. That Pharisee religious spirit is still, that was working then, is still alive. And is the most dangerous spirit around. That's why people can blow themselves up and to kill people because they think they are serving God. It's a religious spirit. It makes you say things and do things because you are convinced it pleases God. And it's this satanic deceit. So the man said, why don't you sell this thing and give to what? The poor. What's wrong with that? This sounded awesome. And Jesus said, no, there's a ministry going on here. He's anointing me for my burial. God is doing something different, you don't know. There's an anointing service going on right here. Because this woman you see pretty soon will become a priest of God. Because I'm going to die to make them all priests. She's anointing me for my burial. That's what Jesus said. Am I right? Come on, church. Am I right? Then he says, Simon, let's talk. Say, Simon, come on, let's talk. He says, somebody owes, two people owe somebody something. You know, owe something. Say, this person say owes, let's say, $100. And then this person owes $1 million. He said, both of them were for what the word Jesus used, forgiving. Forgiving. The Holy Spirit said, this is the key thing, first, number one. He says, they were both forgiven. And then he said to Simon, which one will love this man most? He said, the one that was forgiven $1 million. He said, you think you were forgiven little. You think that what God did for you in forgiving your sins is $5 thing. That's why you don't love God. But he that loves much understands that much was what? Forgiven. I told you that God is talking to us. The reason we don't love God, because we don't know his love. The Bible says we love him because he first what? When God, Jesus is saying, when you know how much God has forgiven you, when you know what you owe God, when you understand the depth of your iniquity and everything, you will love God much. But when the Bible talks of forgiveness, it doesn't even mean much to us. That's why we have the audacity to think we are so good. We go around thinking we are very good, wonderful people. Even asking for God's judgment. Somebody wrote a book. He said Christians are begging for God to judge them. And that's a dangerous thing. You don't want that. You want this. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
Come on, can I hear amen?
Amen?
He said, who forgave it all thy sins and healed all? How many of thy diseases? All. He's telling us what Christ come to do. To heal all our diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life. Now, the good things come last. The good things of life now come last. He now fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed. Like the, did you see the order? Spiritual things first, then the carnal things last. But we come in our life, we spin it around. We spin it around. So when we talk about these spiritual things, they don't have value to us. That's why we don't love God. Brethren, let me tell you the truth of the matter. If you don't love God, you cannot live the Christian life. You'll be a religious human being. You'll be wicked. In fact, that's the summary of it. You'll be really wicked. You know what God said to the Jews? He said, you don't have the love of God, what? You. He said, that's why I want to keep your wicked people. And one came to him, he said, okay, this thing you are preaching, like people think we are preaching error. So this thing you are preaching, okay, what must I do to have eternal life? Jesus said, okay, let's start with what you've been doing. You think you're okay, right? Right. Sure. How about the law? I said, from childhood. And Jesus said, okay, let me show you that you're a wicked person. Go and sell what you have and give what? The man left the church. Immediately. What was Jesus trying to prove? You don't have the love of God. Because if you have, you will give to the poor very easily. Jesus was trying to show him, you don't even have God in you. You don't even have God in you at all. And it's the Son of God that gives you that life and that love. I was trying to show him, you don't even have what it takes, because the eternal life is what I came to what? To give. You think you have it because of this, and you don't have it. That's why you can't love him. And that's why we don't love God. So the things of God is struggle, wheelbarrow, giving God. Why should I teach you to pay that if you really love? Lovers give. Can I hear amen? Lovers what? It's natural. Lovers keep fellowship. You love God, you don't go to read his word, you don't read the Bible. You don't go to church, you don't go to Bible studies. You tell me you love God? Are you serious? I've fallen in love with my wife. And as a internee after my pharmacy school, every day I will send her a card. Unless the day didn't work, I'll go to what they call Hall of Cards in Kaduna. But every day I'll mail a card to her. And my salary wasn't much. I will finish it before the end of the month and go to the OB, our bank manager. He will say, write your check. He'll be signing my check for me. That I'm eating my next salary. But I will buy that car. Buy that car. I will drive that distance every 2 weeks to go and see her. That's what love does. Paul said, I'm constrained by the love of God to do this thing. He said, if I don't preach this gospel, woe is me. He said, I'm prepared to die for him whom I love. I love him. I'm not dying for him because the law says so. I'm in love with him. He loved me and died for me. I've fallen in love with Jesus. I'm ready. He said, why are people talking like this? I'm ready to die for him. I'll give everything for him. And you are struggling with tithe? He's coming up and saying, God, I love you. Lovers give and lovers want company. If you love Jesus, anywhere they talk about Jesus, you are number one there. Proof. Don't read your Bible, love Jesus. My wife couldn't even write me a letter that I didn't read several times. I will read it again and read it again and sometimes put it under the pillow. That's what love does. You love Jesus, you don't read Bible, you don't want to hear his voice. You come to his church, you are not comfortable, you want to run away. No, you don't love him. No. You don't love him. Forget about all the stuff we sing here. We don't love him at all. The reason is because you don't know what he did for you. My heart broke on Sunday as I was preaching here. I saw this thing. Oh my God. I've been praying to God. I said, Lord, please. So please, you need to open our eyes. Help us. Last night, I almost didn't sleep. Talking to God about this. I said, Lord, many people don't know your love. They don't. That's why we're wicked. That's why we treat people harshly. That's why we gossip. That's why we talk about sin. You love God. You're done with sin. Done with sin. Because you know it will break his heart. You don't do what hurts your lover. Am I right? Come on, church. Nah, you're done with sin. Because it hurts God. It grieves God. You do whatever God wants you to do. Jesus said, if you love me, then you do what I say. It's a natural thing. A very natural thing. You love me, you do what I say. Because you love me, you are prepared by my love. Not forced by law, not compelled by law, not compelled. If you don't do it, God will judge you. That's not what God doesn't use fear. If you don't do this, God's going to judge you. So because God will judge me, oh, I won't do that. That's fear. And fear is not from God. Can I hear amen? Can I hear amen? Amen. Let me hear another amen. Yes. If I love God, I will never hurt her. If I hurt her, my heart will break. Instantly, the Spirit of God, I would sense it. My heart will break. All I'm seeking is what to find her. To make up. Because she's a child of God. Let me make a statement here. And I want you to listen to me. If you love somebody, you love his relations. Is that true? Huh? If I love him, I love his children, love his wife, love everybody around him. If you love God, you love his children. That's what Jesus said. When you love one another, then people will know you are following my footsteps as I have loved you. Because if you love me, you love my children. He said to Peter, do you love me? Peter said, go and feed my what? Sheep, love my sheep. You really love me, you love my children. I don't know any woman who loves a man who doesn't love the mother-in-law. If you're in love with a man, automatically mama is your mama. Unless she does something extraordinary, which I don't know. But under normal temperature and pressure, that's your mom, naturally. Unless she does something really crazy. Am I telling lies? Huh? It's your mom. If you want to go and see, you go home, you won't see her. Mama, how are you? Mama, hey, mama, you say, mama, say that later. Mama, mama. What is driving that is the love you have for the son. Period. And that's what God set up with his church. Love one another as I have loved. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So, God says, don't forget that I forgave you, you see, healed all your diseases, redeemed you from death, crowned you with loving tenderness, and I need time here. Even if it's Bomoro clock, bring it to me. So the Lord wants us to appreciate the higher values of life, which are the spiritual things. In John 6:15, something happened here. Some people came, you know, Jesus fed them bread. You remember the story? Fed them bread with fish, 5 loaves, and what? 2 fishes. So Jesus fed them. And they ate. Then after that, Jesus left them now, entered the boat, and went to Capernaum, crossed the river. So in the morning, they all came out for breakfast. It's a true story. It's in the Bible. They all came out looking for Jesus because they say, this man gives us a fish. So they came out in the morning, all their children, everybody out. They were looking for him everywhere. They didn't see him. And they say, where did he go? We thought he's around. We want to eat fish. Then they say, but we saw a boat. This boat was the one that the disciples used. But where are the disciples? So they all enter, they charter boats and cross the river. They went after Jesus, following him. When they find us, they say, ha, sir, we've been looking. Say, where did you go? Then Jesus said, you are not looking for me because of the miracles I did. You are looking for me because you ate what? Bread. Read your Bible. You know, people look for Jesus for different things. I don't know if you are looking for bread because of a job. You want to marry, you want to do this. I don't know why you're looking for him. But Jesus said to them, the only reason you should look for me is for eternal things. Not for bread. Again, they spinned it around. To them, the most important thing is the natural things. And Jesus said, no, the primary things are the eternal things. Praise the Lord. Come on, I said praise the Lord. Look at John chapter 6:15. John chapter 6. I need a clock. Here, the one you brought the other day. iPad. Okay. John 6:15. Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king. See, they wanted to force him to be their king so that he'd be producing bread for them. He departed again to the mountain by himself alone. You know, if it's now, that would have been a huge opportunity now. The anointed man. Who did a miracle. So, yeah, I'm anointed. So people can now, Jesus just left them and went to. Okay? Then verse 24. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Verse 27. Do not labor for food, which what? Perishes. Which perishes. But for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you. Because God the Father has set his seal on him. He said, I came to give you life. That bread gave you natural life, but I came to give you eternal life. He said, that's what you should seek for. That's what you should labor for. The eternal life which I came to give you. I'm the bread of life. And they said, how can you be bread? He said, but I'm the bread of life. Why is it bread of life? The natural bread will give you natural life, but Jesus will give you what? Spiritual life. He said, I'm the source of life. I'm the bread of life. If you have me, you have life. He said, stop seeking these things that have limited value and seek for the things that have greater value. Then you don't want to go and listen to them. They said to him, okay, since you won't give us bread, teach us how to make it. It's in your Bible. But they put it in religious language. What must we do to do the works of what? God. What they were really asking is, how did you do it? So we can now do it. And Jesus told them, you want to do it? Okay. Stop looking for what you should do. Believe in the one that God sent for you. That's what you're supposed to do. Not looking for how to produce bread. And then they started to argue with him. They were not going there. But what I'm trying to bring out is that we should be very thankful and put great value on spiritual things. Eternal life that God gave us. Look at this. Ephesians 1:3. How can I have time here? Ephesians 1, what? 3. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed is this the remaining time. Are you sure? Did you buy this at sales? Okay, Black Friday. Okay. Ephesians 1:3. All praise to God the Father. Why praise the God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with what? Spiritual blessing in heavenly realms because we are united to Christ. You see why somebody is giving praise to God? Because of the spiritual blessings. Because of the eternal things that God gave him. Now, Ephesians 1:7. Let's go to verse 7. In whom? Good. In whom? In whom? He is so rich in kindness. Ephesians 1:7. King James Version is what I'm reading. Today is King James Day. So all the King James people, you are welcome to the new church. I hope you brought your Bible. Okay, we read your King James today. King James, in whom we have what? You see, he's showing now the blessings he's thanking God for. Again, in whom we have what? Redemption through his blood. And what again? Did you see the word forgiveness of sin repeating? 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 It's a huge thing. It's a very huge thing. Repeating. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his what? Grace, his mercy, his love that gave us all these things. So when the man is saying, blessed be the name of the Lord, because of the things he did, he knew exactly what God did for him. He was able to enumerate them. He wasn't confused why he was thanking God. He said, God, thank you for my redemption. Thank you for forgiving my sins. And these things because of your grace and mercy. Because the Bible says, blessed is the man whose sins are what? Forgive. Praise the Lord. Let's go and read 1 Peter 1:3. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy. Okay, let's read King James today. Okay. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy, according to his what? Abundant mercy had begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now let me interpret this in a modern language so we can understand it better. Now can I read New Living Translation? All praise to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again. That is what he said, begotten us. Begotten us is that we have been born again. He said it is through God's great mercy. It's not through what you did. It's not through what you did. Church, don't get the devil confuse you. It's not through what you did. Salvation is because of the grace and mercy of God. It's because of what Jesus did on the cross. Hear it and believe it. He says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again. Why? Because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Acts 15:11. We believe. New Living Translation. We are done with King James. They should be happy with that. Now let's move to New Living. Acts what? Acts 15:11. We believe. What do we believe? That we are all saved by the same way. What way? By the undeserved grace of our Lord Jesus. So that's what we believe. I don't know what you believe, but this is what I believe. Not by works, so that no man can boast. So we should be grateful for our salvation. If you know what God saved you from, let me tell you, brethren, nobody can save himself from the power of Satan. You are not even a match for Satan. You are not a match for sin. Jesus is the one that set us free. Can I hear amen? Amen. Today, really, I should be very thankful because I had an experience. You know, occasionally the Lord will let you see into the spirit world. Let you see into the spirit world what he did for you. Occasionally, he will let you see. And he let me see a little bit. And I'm so grateful for that. It's not because you are big or anything. It's just his mercy. You know, sometimes he will show you what he's done for you. A little bit. You know. So I saw, see this snake that will come around me, and I had this rod in my hand. So I would drive it away. The snake will go. I say, okay, it's gone. It will go and sneak back again. Then I'll drive it away again. Then I say, it's gone. It's gone. They will come back. I realize, this snake looks very dangerous. So we'll come back again. I realize that this snake was after me. And the water paper. So I used that rod. The rod of tribe of Jesse. I mean, the rod of Jesse. The name of Jesus. I used that rod and kept it there, and they started crawling around. So it was trying to come after me. So I used that rod and I lift the thing and hit the head against one tire. And when I hit it against the tire, you hear the noise. Wah! I will hit it again. Against the thing. In the head, I was hitting it. Boom. I was struggling. It was now under my car. So all of a sudden, something lifted me high. We are seated with him far above. Lifted me high. And that rod lengthened. Praise the Lord. And I said to the man next day, I said, you use my car and crush that thing right away. He said, the key. I said, the key is already there. The authority is given. It's already there. So the man got into the car and moved this car, and the thing crushed the snake to pieces. I spent most of that. I've spent a lot of time thanking God for my salvation, blessing the name of the Lord for my deliverance, thanking him for my redemption. Thanking him for the power of the blood. And God wanted me to see what that my confession of faith was doing. Praise the Lord. You should be grateful for your salvation. You should be very grateful. And let me tell us something, church. If you don't know these things and believe them, you will not win spiritual battles. You will not. Because your faith is your victory. Faith in what? It's these things that God is showing you now, that these are the things I've done for you. Those are the things you should believe. Those are the things you should stand upon. Those are the things that should form your language. They should form your what? Your language. And so you have to know them. Thank God for them all the time. Give God praise for them all the time. So that out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will now speak. When you are empty of this truth, there is nothing coming out when you need it. Even in prayer, you'll be struggling. I hear some people pray and you're wondering, how will this prayer be answered? Because you really don't know what they're expecting. I asked somebody, I said, this prayer you said, will you identify the answer when you see it? Because I don't know what you are talking about. You need to understand that these things are given to us so that the word will dwell richly in us. So that it becomes your language. And when it becomes your language in the morning, you worship God for it. You thank God for your redemption. Thank God for your healing. Thank God that you've been redeemed from the curse. That you keep doing this day in. The Bible says meditate on it day and night. You keep doing this. Then it becomes engrafted in your heart. It becomes rooted in your being. It becomes something that cannot be uprooted. Because that's what you say every day. And as you say it every day, it begins to come out of your mouth. And as it comes out of your mouth, you are speaking life. You are building life. The word of God builds. The word of God builds. The word of God what? Builds. The Bible says God builds all things by the word. But it comes out of your mouth. You meditate on it day. Every morning I thank God. I go through the whole range of my salvation, the benefits of my salvation, and all that range of things. Every morning, I go as much as I have opportunity, I keep saying it, because I know as I say it, I'm releasing life into myself. I'm speaking the word over my life. And that's why God can show me, see that snake, see what happened to it. See how you were hitting the head with a rod, hitting the head. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Come on, I said, praise the Lord. And that's when you are grounded and rooted in this thing, anything contrary, you resist it. The devil will try to confuse you. That's his job. He will try to put doubt into your heart. If you are praying without the word of God, you have an issue. Because the devil will fight you back. He will try to put, it didn't work. See, it doesn't work. See, and I prayed not. One time he came to me, he said, which of your prayers has God answered? I said, every one of them. And God said, forget not all my what? But the devil told me, you don't have any benefit. I'm telling you. I said, every one of them. Every one of them. Can I hear amen? Amen. This is the sword you use. These things we are talking. That's the sword of the Spirit. You pull where you need it. That's the sword of the Spirit you pull when things get rough indeed. That's what you pull. Man, that's the shield you build. That's your shield. This word is the word you use to build the shield of faith. Every fiery dart of the wicked, boom, goes down. That's how that snake, it will go and come. I didn't even know what was happening. It will go and come, and it will go and come, it will go and come. I didn't know what was happening. But God showed me, he said, see, this thing has been happening. This thing has been coming back at you. It will go and come back at you. Go and come. But you had a rod. Somebody shout hallelujah. You had a rod in your hand. You had it. And that rod is not a physical thing. Our weapons of warfare are what? Not carnal. They're spiritual. They're highly spiritual. They're not carnal things. It's something you know. You must. That's why spiritual things are very valuable. Because your real issues are spiritual issues. Praise the Lord. I'll show you some more. And then I'm done. Look at Ephesians 1:11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. In whom also we have what? I didn't hear. In whom also we have what? An inheritance. What is an inheritance? The blessings of God. You say, God has already blessed us. It's a pity that people, I want to pray for people, come, let me bless them. You rush. Why don't you say, no, I'm already what? Blessed. What's wrong with the things God gave you? What's wrong with what God gave you? God said, I've given you an inheritance. You are my son. You came into this family. You have a portion here. And we sing it, the Lord is my portion in the land. Are we not in the land of the living? Yeah. Every day I bless, I say, Lord, I give you praise. You blessed me. I am abundantly provided for. Oh, praise the Lord. There's something that happened yesterday I won't tell you. And I went to the Lord, I said, Lord, you take care of this thing. Take care of it. I said, I will leave it with you to handle. And then I began to tell somebody about the same thing I have handed over to the Lord. Immediately inside of me, like something went dark. I don't know how to describe it. It's like a depression. Immediately I started to, the thing came inside of me, like, I realized that the Lord is saying, no, no. You've already what? So don't talk about it. I said, yeah, that's. And he said, if you walk in them, I will show you something. If you walk in non-belief, you cut God off. You see the church where we're? There was a time we were owing so much in the loan we took. And we were paying only the interest. Only what? Our interest, our this thing was 7.5, what they call it? Interest rate, 7.5. So we're paying only the interest. And all of a sudden, Foursquare and the West Fargo had issue. And we didn't know because the small grass, two elephants, we didn't know. So West Fargo wrote us that we must pay the whole money, almost $1 million, or they take that property. And gave us a few days. You can ask Stella. It's a fact, I'm telling you. I didn't know that West Fargo and Foursquare had had that Foursquare opened their own loans fund. So West Fargo threw away all their loans. Nobody told us nothing. So I went to the Lord. I said, Lord, they want to take your building. I said, what are you going to do about it? He said, and I said, Lord, you're owing money. You're owing a lot of money. So how do you want to pay your debt? He said, I'm not owing anything. Ha! I said, my name is not on that building. I said, it is your church. And West Fargo wants to take your church, and you're owing almost $1 million. So what are you going to do? He said, I am not owing anything. I said, Lord, can you not be owing? He said, that's Orange Foursquare Church. It's your church. It's not my name. He said to me, how much do you pay a month? I said, we're paying the principal. I want you to learn from this. He said, why are you not paying the principal? I said, Lord, the money that we have, so we pay only the... He said, okay, so your faith is in the money that you have, not in me. He said, the money that... I said, yeah. He said, you are depending on the money you have to pay. You are not depending on me to pay. He said, anything you don't trust me for is not my business. I want you to learn from that. So anything you can't trust me for, you don't commit into my hand and trust me for, it's none of my business. He said, sure. That's why I told you I'm not owing. You are owing because you are managing the thing and paying from your human mind how much you think you can pay. He said, it's your loan and the building is yours. It's not mine. Hey, he said, you've been walking in unbelief. And he said, my walk is a walk of faith. I said, yeah. I said, Lord, you know. Yeah, I said, it's true. I said, I've been walking in unbelief. He said, how did you get here? Did you have money to buy here? I said, no. He said, who brought you here? I said, you did. He said, I provided you down payment, $300,000. Did you have money? I said, no. He said, so if I'm God, why are you not paying the principal? I said, it's true. I called them. I called her immediately. I said, Stella, write a check of 10,000 principal. He said, Pastor, where is the money coming from? I said, from heaven. Write it. Oh, I wish he's here to tell you the truth. Huh? Eh? Stella, where is she? Am I saying the truth? He said, I said, post the check. He said, Pastor, I work with you for years now that I know if you say something, I'll do it. I said, post it. She melted the thing. Where was the 10,000? Didn't have anything. Melted it. Before the check got to them, the money came to the bank. And listen, you haven't had anything. No, whoa, whoa, I'm not done. So I got excited. I said, increase it to 12,000. 12. Yep. And I said to the Lord, said, now I got this loan. Now let's see what I'm going to do. We didn't know that Foursquare had this loan fund. So we were going to banks to refinance this thing. And God bless this. Like, she was all over the place, searching for bank. So finally, I don't know how we got to know that Foursquare left West Fargo. So we now applied to them. They wrote us a letter of commendation. They say, we read the history of your church. It caused excitement in the board meeting. Yep. So we looked at the record of your church. It's unbelievable. They approved the loan immediately and gave us from 7.5 to 4.5 interest. Yep, she's here. And between that time and a few years, that almost a million came down to 200 and something thousand. Switch over to here. The same process happened here. What I want to show you, brethren, listen, I'm not kidding you. You must go, if your life is, go. What you believe is what your life is showing. Go to the word and know what God has what said. If God said, I gave you this, God is not a liar. The reason you haven't seen it is you have not accepted it. Just accept it by simple faith. And fight the devil over it, because the devil will tell you, what is it? No, I'm not supposed to walk by sight. I walk by faith. I wish I can read to you letters coming to us from the board members. I wish I can read them for you. Coming to us from the board. How they held this board meeting and approved this, our status in the board. I wish I can read to you what the board members were saying about this show. I wish I can. But I won't. I sent it to some of our pastors and some of the leaders. I said, see what God is doing. I wish I can. Praise the Lord. Come on, I said, praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. When we came newly here, we had nothing. So Foursquare was giving us, Stella would tell you, give us 2,000, and when we pay our rent, pay this, we retired, they will send another one. So at the point, we were just few people. So they stopped and left us alone. And I went to the district, I said, whoa! I said, now God will take over. I said, you people have blocked God's sins. I said, good, you left us. I said, you will see the hand of God. As I'm telling you, you will see what? That week, somebody came into our house. As my wife, I gave us a check of $10,000. He said, the Lord spoke to me in my house to bring this to you. I said, this church is a fertile ground. Then he now asked me, what is even the name of the church? He didn't know the name. I took the check to the district. Revival broke out in their church. They said, we read these things in the book. We never had it. I've seen it before. They say, you just came, this Africa. Somebody is giving your church a check of, nobody gave us 1,000. From that check of 10,000, the next check somebody gave us was 100,000. And that was when we were about to buy that building. We didn't have money. That 100,000 came in and we had enough down payment. You frustrate yourself. You don't know how to believe the word of God. Because the only way you can make the power of God work is by faith in God. All this struggling, trying to be holy, and forget it. It's God that will make you holy. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's by what? God will make you look. Oh, Jesus. I prayed my heart. I said, Lord, you need to open our eyes. So much struggle, so much, no result. No result. Yet the result is there. The result is there. Praise the Lord.
Only believe. That's all. Oh, but our human mind will want to do this, do that. God says, enter my rest, my friend. Forget about it. You've done before, you failed. All have seen. That's what you did resulted in. Now I've come. My name is Emmanuel. I'm the ever-present God. I'm now your helper. I came to save you. I came to seek you and to save you. I came to give you life. I came to deliver you from the powers that you couldn't be free of. All your enemies and the hands of all that hate you, so that you can now serve me without fear all the days. Praise the Lord. That's why we give thanks for all these things that God has done for us in Christ, who redeemed my soul. That's why that snake couldn't come, because a price has been paid for my soul. And I believed it. And every day I thank God for it. Every day I give God glory for it. Every day I worship God for it. Every day I say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord what? Say so. So every day I what? I say so. I'm just a fool. I just do what they say. Say so. Healed of the Lord. Say so. I don't have any symptom in my body. I don't have issue. I don't have blood pressure things. I don't have prostrate things. I don't, no issue. I eat anything. I'm telling you. And sometimes I go, I think I'm tired sometimes. Because the energy keeps what? Coming. Am I telling lies? You know, some of you come to me and say, Pastor, where is your energy coming from? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I fear? I drive to Canada. I drive back from Canada. I do what God gives me strength to do. I'm enjoying my life. Say, Pastor, are you rich? I don't have money. But my needs are met. Let's rise up. Praising the Lord. Praising Him.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.